Hi, welcome to another edition of AMI Today. And this is Dr. Mike Carberry, and I have a special guest today, Dan Wagner, Vice President of Sales of Signature Biologics. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Mike. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. So he traveled out to see us and give us information about their product. We are a new vendor of Signature, and we're glad to be part of this team. We spent some time this morning talking about your product, and I learned things that I didn't know before. We're going to share some of those during this episode so that our listeners actually get to participate in that. But everybody says, why did you become partners with Signature? And I said, well, everybody knows who Neil Reardon is. How can you not be partners with that guy? So what's it like to work with Neil or for Neil? Or I guess he's not so much involved, but I guess he was.
Very involved.
Oh,
yeah,
is he?
Absolutely. No, it's a pleasure to work for Dr. Reardon and the entire team. So he has this insatiable thirst for innovation and for knowledge. Mm-hmm. So kind of we call it the little black book. When he comes in and he's got his ideas or he wants to look at things from a different perspective, you just never know what's about to come out, but you know that you're about to learn something and learn something big.
That's so good.
Yeah,
that's
no,
good.
It's very exciting, keeps us on our toes. And it's also been so great because the way that he has staffed and built up Signature is with folks that have been with him over decades, whether it be at Stem Cell Institute or other institutions. And so they know how to pick up that ball and run with both the institutional knowledge, but exactly what Neil's trying to accomplish as well.
Right, you know, and it does show when we first met you guys, we were looking to see, did you have the science behind what you were doing? Not that we're experts on science, but we know enough to be dangerous. But what really caught Eric Huntington's attention and my attention was everybody had this passion. Like we met Chloe, which is his daughter, and she had the same passion.
Yeah.
We met Jonathan Hernandez, the chief science officer, same passion. So it's important to us because we have passion for what we do. And if somebody has passion for what they do and they truly believe in what they do, it probably is a superior product because they're putting their name on it. So. Yeah, we're glad to work with you guys.
And oh, thank you. Well, we're glad to be a part of the network.
Yeah, we've learned a lot. So you're going to tell us today about some things, which we were talking about earlier, some new data on your product Signature Cord.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you may know from part of our discussions, it's been very exciting, is that Signature Biologics has been dedicated to accomplishing a lot of things as it pertains to not just the products, but the FDA's regulatory pipeline. And one of those key things is in filing an IND for a Signature Cord Prime product. And through that process, one of the things that's been really exciting is that we've been executing both animal studies, but also laboratory studies controlled for mechanisms of action of our product that as just a 361 product, you really wouldn't look for. But when you're going after this 351 IND designation, we've done the studies not just with Signature Cord Prime, the new product, but with our existing product as well. And so some of the exciting data that we're just floored to share.
So
yeah, I'm
because
sorry, yeah.
We have newer clients, and
yeah.
A lot of this stuff, some of our older clients, that they are familiar with the words you're saying, 351, 361.
Okay, yeah.
But IND 351, why don't you explain to our listeners what that is?
Sure. So in the process, FDA basically laid out two different pipelines. And the one, you know, basically four criteria, minimally manipulated, homologous use only. To sum it up, basically very safe profile you're permitted to go to market with.
Not a drug. A tissue transfer.
Exactly.
Safe.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay,
exactly.
Good.
The timetable on that, FDA and their biologics division have been very vocal that they would like to ensure that all the products in the marketplace are what we call pre-market approved, which means that there's data on file with FDA, and they go through a process, and that process is an IND process for biologic.
Got
so
it.
Basically, they treat it like a pharmacological,
mm-hmm.
And so it consists of we've had pre-market or pre-IND meetings with the FDA. I've gotten great feedback from them. They fully recognize that we've got tremendous historical data from the products that are currently being used in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then we confirm the pathway forward. And so the pathway forward, in general sense, consists of basically three phases. A phase one for safety, a phase two to generally suss out efficacy, and I'm kind of paraphrasing there, and then a phase three to then prove out your efficacy of the product.
Okay.
And so what that kind of changes the game is that it gives us an opportunity and a perspective to look at our product not just under the four criteria and the tissue transfer that we talked about, but to look at it for a true claim. Because the result of the IND pathway is not just a pre-market approval, but then to arrive at what is the claim that the product has. So to reduce inflammation, for example, or for application in osteoarthritis of the knee, for example, right? And so through that process, the exciting thing has been that the data we've gotten back is phenomenal.
Okay.
We were just showing it the other day. We were invited to do a speaking tour, and I'm glad to share it with you and the clients here.
Okay.
But we did two experiments. First one was where we took macrophages, which are recruited and then polarized to M1 macrophages as a part of the inflammatory process,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we measured TNF-alpha, the secretion as a indicator of the level of inflammation. And then we applied our product. And not knowing what the response would be, we executed this initial experiment applying only 25 milligrams of our product, which is only one third of what's in a normal milliliter of our product
right.
in the vial. We got a 29% reduction of TNFA alpha content from those macrophages, showing 29% of them basically repolarized to M2 macrophages, which are the core material that those macrophages then go to work in regeneration and
so
regrowth.
So what time period did this?
That was 24 hours.
24 hours, you had one third of the macrophages converted to an M2.
Yep.
Wow,
yeah.
That's impressive. So then the patient would experience significant relief in that first 24 hours.
Yes, yeah.
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 So what would happen after that?
So that's a great question. That's where this gets so exciting, is that we basically used, as a control, we used prostaglandin E2 as a controlled pharmacological.
Mm-hmm.
And that too showed a reduction of TNF-alpha in the beginning. But because it's pharmaceutical, as soon as it gets used up by the macrophages, the inflammation comes back and the numbers start to go up, which is not desirable.
So this would be like taking an anti-inflammatory. You have to take it every day, sometimes
Bingo.
A couple times a day.
Bingo, right? That Tylenol or that Advil does not live in your system forever.
Right.
Right? And so what we found with our product, because it is a biologic, because the cells and the tissue are alive, the TNF-alpha numbers continue to drop at 3 days and 5 days, which were the extent of the study.
Wow.
And so
all
awesome.
The way through the whole study, they continued to drop even
exactly.
lower.
Exactly.
That is
exciting.
Exactly. That actually is impressive.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. And the credit really goes to Dr. Hernandez and his staff who execute this. And then further, because we mentioned before, you know, Dr. Reardon's got this insatiable sense for innovation. One study wasn't good enough. So he said, okay, you did that with macrophages. Great. What about monocytes? Because monocytes are also present, right? And monocytes should exhibit kind of the same behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we redid the entire experiment with the monocytes and we showed 59% reduction.
In the first 24?
The first 24 hours.
Wow, that is incredible.
So it's very exciting time to be with Signature Biologics because not only do we have great products, but now we're defining the underlying mechanisms of action. We're defining the IND pathway to bring this through with FDA. And we're very excited to, as always, transparently report and share those findings.
That's awesome. So you said there's a new product. You mentioned that. Can you
yes.
talk about that or no?
I can talk about it briefly. So it's not available today. But the new product is a premium Signature Cord product that we call Signature Cord Prime. And that will be the subject of our IND filing that will be on file with FDA by the close of this calendar year.
Oh, wow.
And
awesome.
So we're very excited for that. It's well ahead of schedule. We've gotten tremendous feedback from FDA through the pre-IND meetings, as well as just continuing to work directly with them to understand what's required. And I think it's gonna, it's a great example of who we are as a company.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked for a lot of companies, especially in a startup phase or in a virgin market like regenerative medicine, and people look for silver bullets. When it comes to regulatory, there are no silver bullets.
Right.
You just follow the instructions.
That's right. So we're learning that because we're hearing all kinds of different claims by different companies. But we talked a bit before we started this show, and I had some concerns about freezing and thawing, and actually that was one of the things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I learned things this morning because a little background, and I told you this earlier, but just for the sake of our audience, I did research a couple years ago because I started hearing all these stories about, oh, you can freeze it at minus 80, you can freeze it at minus 65, you can freeze it at minus 135, you have to use liquid nitrogen. And I just started thinking, like, where do I make sense of this? So I did research and I found out that, like, bull sperm, I came upon the sperm industry because that's an agricultural industry, and the product at the end of it is you have a live calf. Right?
So I mean, definitive proof.
They have to know if they're going to freeze that accurately or not. There's no claim like, well, they're dead cells, because there'd be no calf.
Right.
So I started looking at how they froze their tissues, and they came up with a certain pattern of freezing. And it was to a certain temperature. And they said literally it had to be colder than minus 135. When you get in that realm, the only thing that gets down there is liquid nitrogen. Sure. So I questioned you about this because your product is minus 65.
Minus 65.
And I was surprised at your answer. The only one ever came up with a good answer for this question, and actually one that I'm accepting is a good answer, and one that I would allow to actually act on working with this product because of your answer.
Okay.
So why don't you explain to our clients what we talked about?
Sure, absolutely. So we understand. I mean, there's tons of great peer-reviewed literature out there that indicate all different types of cryopreserving storage temperatures, you know, up until including negative 197, which would be liquid nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And so in most cases, the big thing is we have to remember that Signature Biologics products today are tissue products, and that a lot of these studies have been done around cellular isolates. So for example, that the bull semen example that you used, by its very nature, sperm are a cellular isolate.
Sorry.
Right.
And that's true.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that caught my attention when I first met you guys, and Dr. Hernandez was showing slides, and you could actually see the slices in the product. Yes. And I'm like, that's different. That is actually chunks of tissue. Obviously, and we're not advocating doing an IV, but you wouldn't want to put that in an IV because that could be dangerous.
That's correct.
But injecting that into a tissue, that's not dangerous. So I look at it and I go, okay, that's a different approach than I've seen from anybody else. And you guys, obviously, when you look at your slides, they are slices of tissue.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us how that affects the freezing and thawing process.
Well, it's a great question. So just as there are the peer-reviewed studies out there with cellular isolates, cells, when isolated, they're extremely fragile. It's a very volatile process to go through the cryopreservation to get down to temperature. Right, you want to reduce that metabolic activity.
And that's what I read,
yep.
That it is very dangerous.
And then when you bring it back, they're very, very sensitive, right? Because they're not in their normal environment. And they're almost, Dr. Hernandez likes to almost talk about them as if they're individual people. It's like they're very uncomfortable. You know, they've been out in the snow for days,
right?
You know, and so just like a frostbit hand, you can't just, you put that under even lukewarm water, feels like it's on fire, right?
Right.
And so, you got to be very, very sensitive. And actually, we were part of a meeting with the Texas Chiropractic Board, and they brought this up as well, that a lot of the cellular isolate products really may not be feasible to thaw them in 5 minutes in a gloved hand. And I think even our work at Signature, we would agree with that statement for cellular isolates, because those cells are alone, they're vulnerable, they're exposed on all sides, to the DMSO, to the temperature changes, to all of that. As a tissue product, what's really, really different, and there are studies out there just the same for tissue, for example, specifically with dental pulp and dental-derived MSCs, they will store it at negative 65 to negative 80. And in general, larger organs and tissues are stored at that range. But let's forget, so that's where we started down that pathway. But what's really cool and what's really core to Signature Biologics is that while all those studies may exist, we, as the manufacturers of the product, we need to do the studies and to have them on file. Mm-hmm. Because if we're saying negative 65, then we need end-to-end validation that that is the correct temperature.
So these are studies that you guys did on your product at those temperatures?
That's correct. And so out of the gate, we picked negative 65, not just because of the studies that are out there or what universities are saying, but based on our information and testing our actual product right off the production line. We've shown the maintenance of the original tissue characteristics, cryopreserving it at negative 65 or colder. There's no harm done to going colder than negative 65, but that's the ceiling, if you will.
Right.
Okay. And we've shown that it maintains viability at that temperature as well. And so that's been on file with our quality management system well before we released the products to the public. But what's really neat and what I wanted to share with you and the entire AMI family this week is that we'll be releasing a white paper this week because it's a very good question to get from providers of all types as to why you arrive at this temperature. Mm-hmm. And so working with Dr. Hernandez and his team, they've taken 7 different lots across both of our product lines, going across, and the reason for multiple lots was also to look at different time periods of cryopreservation,
right,
all the way out to 22 months of basically being on ice.
Which, right, is like, I think, the standard, try to see if it lasts 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So 2 years is pretty much the standard guidance. And we put it under microscopy and we stained it, and you can see beautiful, viable tissue images in every single one of the lots.
Based on the uptake of the stain, or?
Yeah, based on the uptake of the stain.
Got it.
So because it's a tissue product, we used CSFE to stain for intact cytoplasm, which would give us intact cell structures. And then if it's not intact, it washes free. And then we also wanted to place the nucleus. So we used DAPI, which is a blue stain, to stain for the nucleus. And when we get a double positive, that is a green exterior with a blue dot interior, that's indicative of a viable cell.
And I've seen those slides. Dr.
Yeah.
Hernandez showed them to us.
Yeah.
And now I understand what I was looking at.
Yeah.
So is, yeah, it fair to say, to make an analogy out of this for people to understand that,
sure,
because they're still connected to the tissue, they're able to withstand changes in the temperature better than isolates?
That's absolutely correct.
So then it's almost like, because they're hanging out with the gang and they're building little structures in the caves and they can withstand the cold and they have better clothing on, it's a more hardy tissue.
Yeah, it's a much hardier tissue. It's a much hardier environment for the individual cells. And they're not subjected to as much stress as cells in a cellular isolate.
I got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. And you're the first person to give me a decent answer on that, a good answer actually on that question, because I've asked that question before and I got backpedaling, but that's not what I got from you. What I got from you is an explanation of this is why the one would have to be frozen colder, and yours can be frozen not as cold and thawed easier,
that's
which
right,
really gets my attention on things.
Yeah. And that's been a consistent answer, whether it be the Texas Chiropractic Board, whether it be orthopedic surgeons, whether it be the FDA, whether it be our own internal quality management system. It's been the consistent answer because it's been proven out and born of science.
So I had people talk to me about that Texas board meeting, and they were saying that they're not happy with chiropractors that have medical staff doing regenerative medicine. I'm like, well, we don't care if they're happy about it. If it helps the patient, we can put up with them being a little miffed, but they didn't,
sure,
really actually put any restrictions on anybody on anything.
No, there were no decisions made.
Yeah.
It was a great open dialogue. I think we were the only manufacturer represented there. We were invited, so thank
Good
you,
for
to,
you.
To the board.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think there's many different opinions out there. You know, and I think it was a great forum just to have constructive dialogue about what are the safety profile, how to get medicine out there. And actually, to everyone's credit as well, they did discuss the reason why there was no decisions being made was that we certainly don't want to limit access to good medicine.
Right, it was even the Texas governor who said that in the past, that,
yeah,
you don't want to limit the ability to have access to these tissues.
Exactly.
Josh Massengill is the attorney down there, and he's been such a friend of alternative healthcare and chiropractors. He usually keeps me abreast of those things.
Oh, cool.
He invited me to get down there, and I wasn't able to get down there. So
nice.
He's a great guy.
Yeah,
a great guy.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
So you have some other things that you wanted to talk about, and
sure,
I guess the big one is that you have a new lab that's going to open Q1 2021.
Yeah, so we're very excited. So one of the things at Signature is, it comes from kind of a sales perspective. We're always concerned. I like to say we're service first, we're education second, and then third is come satisfaction, because if you do the first two right, then you don't have to worry about third.
That's true.
And so one of the things we had on our radar entering 2020 was that we certainly needed much, much more capacity than we currently had at our lab.
Well, your lab wasn't a bad lab.
It's a great lab.
I think I just sprung this on you.
Yeah.
Most people don't know this, but when I was, before I got involved in chiropractic, I had a job where I was working for a janitorial supply company, and a lot of my clients were hospitals and labs. And I've been in those labs, and I've actually sold the suits for those labs and the filters for the labs. Yeah, that's right. And so I'm not an expert, but I guess I could be closer to an expert than a layperson. Yeah. And when I went in your lab, I was like, this is impressive. This is a good lab.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank
you. That was your old lab, your new lab.
Yeah, and we're keeping it, right? Okay. So we're going to keep our old lab. It's a beautiful lab. That lab has GMP, AATB accredited, ISO 9001 certified. It's a beautiful lab. We're bringing all of those certifications and accreditations to this new facility. The new facility is 36,000 square feet.
You're gonna land a helicopter in there?
We could. And it's really impressive because kind of twofold. One is it allows us to deliver on our objectives to our customers. It gives us well over a 450% increased production capacity.
Wow.
Which is tremendous. Mm-hmm. It also at the same time allows us to continue to expand and run many, many different product lines simultaneously.
Wow.
So it gives us that the ability to feed innovation.
Yep.
And then at the third thing, and we'd love to host you as well as numerous any AMI clients, we're always open door policy. We have tons of visitors. But the new visitor boardroom has a shared pane of glass directly into our research and development laboratory.
Wow. That's good.
And so it's going to be pretty neat.
So I think what we should do is we should not just pop in on you guys one day, but arrange something where we could have a group of us come down there, because I would love to see you.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be open when?
We're currently in the white collar office spaces right now. The construction on the laboratory space should be concluded in January. And then just being who we are from a quality perspective, all the accreditations and validations will be up and running by end of February.
Okay, so we're probably looking at sometime in March.
Yeah, sometime in March would be best.
That would be good. That's exciting. You know, we can arrange that and we'll have people come down and take tours.
I would love to have you.
Okay, good.
I'd love to have you.
Well, all right, so then, your progress towards IND, I know you already touched on that, but yeah. Anything else you want to say about that? Or?
Absolutely. So kind of combining a couple of things. And then if it's all right with you, I'd love to announce kind of an AMI and I'll say a world first publicly here with you today. Okay. That ties into this as well. So far we've talked about a lot of the clinical work that's going on at Signature. We've talked a lot about the physical work. We've got a building expansion, brand new laboratories. We're investing like crazy into the business. You're probably kind of asking yourself, why would you continue to do all these things? And this ties into the IND question. Since this summer, since we became vendors to AMI, and it was in the works prior, we've successfully orchestrated and concluded the acquisition of some major intellectual property. And where that changes the game is that Signature Biologics for the past 3 years has been exclusively a tissue manufacturer, mm-hmm. right? And we produce tissue. In this acquisition, we're very excited to say that we have bought some of the best cellular and acellular intellectual property in the world, and that from this day forward, Signature Biologics' focus is no longer just tissue, but to be the premier regenerative medicine company in the world.
So having both sides of the equation,
exactly.
The tissue plus the isolate. That's
exactly.
Exciting.
So we're super excited. This is technology that has existed outside of the United States for years. It consists of technology that if you've been to a conference where you've heard Dr. Reardon speak, you've heard labeled as platinum cell technology, gold cell technology. That all sits under one roof now. And we're building the facility that allows us to capitalize on that. And we have the regulatory and clinical team to bring that to market. So this year, we're not looking for just one IND filing for Signature Cord Prime, but we're very excited to announce that our target is two IND filings, the second being an acellular product that we'll be bringing to the United States exclusively as a biopharmaceutical.
So, you know, that brings up, you know, the history of your company. And,
yeah.
And Dr. Reardon has been at this for how long?
Decades.
Decades. And,
decades.
And you've been working out of Panama. That's where Dr. Hernandez is from, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So then you're bringing this technology. So you're not a new kid on the block. You're like the people
who've
built
been around.
The block.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, I mean, folks like Dr. Arnie Kaplan, who named the mesenchymal stem cell, right, and who continues to study and wants it called the medicinal signaling cell, and we're completely with him. I mean, he is a frequent visitor of the laboratory. He's a friend of the company. The whole space, as you said, I mean, my hat's off to Dr. Reardon and team who pioneered the way. And while our time in the United States has been relatively short, that's really been in deference to Being aware of where the FDA stands on things, because the key to success and the key to longevity is both respecting and being a societal member aware of the regulatory constraints and the regulatory guidelines. I wouldn't even say constraints, the guidelines, because they're very easy to comply with when you have the knowledge and the know-how.
Right. Do you still have a facility in Panama?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So, so Stem Cell Institute is the, there's a clinic called the Stem Cell Institute, and then there's MediStem, which is a laboratory, and it's based in the old Southern Command campus, which is now the City of Knowledge, and it's an incubator center in Panama City, Panama. We were the first occupants when they turned it over from the federal, U.S. federal government to the Panamanians. And it's a beautiful laboratory. They do a lot of great things there. And we're really excited to be partnering with them as sister companies to bring a lot of this intellectual property and technology to the United States.
Well, that's very exciting. So, you know, we like giving our clients choices, and certainly bringing you on, the quality that you guys bring is just impeccable. So we're glad to have you as part of our team. And you're going to be coming to Chattanooga with us in the beginning of December, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So we'll get you in front of some of our clients and explain some of the things. I got to tell you, for being a VP of sales, you sure got an awful lot of knowledge, Dan.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
You're good at what you explain, and you're good at what you know. And that's a consistent theme that I've seen visiting your facility and meeting your C-suite, your top people at your company. Although I didn't meet Dr. Reardon, I'd like to meet him someday.
We'll make it happen.
The people that I met were very impressive, and I think you have a very, very good company, a good product, and we're glad to be part of your team. So anything you want to say in conclusion?
No, I just want to thank you, Dr. Carberry, for your time, and thank you for inviting me down here, and we're very happy to be partners with AMI.
Good, and we're very happy to have you guys. So thanks for listening to another edition of AMI Today, and tune in for future podcasts we have with different guests, and certainly guests like Dan that are very, very knowledgeable and able to explain their product very, very well. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.